I would like to continue where Chris stopped last time. Remember, Chris gave a good message on the fear. And today I'm going to speak on the boldness in the Lord. Kind of goes along with it. That's the other side of the coin. And this is something that we all need, especially today. You know, there are some people who are bold, but they're not Christians. They can be very bold in doing wicked and evil things publicly. And there are others who can be so bold that they can, even kill people publicly. They can be so bold in doing so much wicked things. They have no fear of the Lord. Then there are others who are also not Christians. They will not do so much wicked and sinful act publicly, but they can be very bold. Especially the salesmen and other people at work, you will see, they have no shyness or anything like that. They are pretty bold in their speech and their performance. There are others, we see, who are bold. They call themselves Christians. And they can go door to door, speak to people. But they are false Christians. And they are very bold too. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and all the cults. Man, you can see it. They are going publicly on the street. They are not ashamed. And they are very bold. And they preach a false gospel. But it's sad to say, many Christians are not bold. Many know the word, many know the doctrines, but when it comes to boldness, that's something we all miss, don't we? There's some kind of fear when it comes to public performance. Fear in preaching the gospel. Now, only few Christians who have this kind of boldness. And so we need to see the problem here. Why we don't have? Why is it that only few have? Why is it that I don't have? Why is it that some Christians, they really do have a boldness? What is the reason? So let us see. What's the reason? Let us put everything on the picture. And let us see where we fall short. And let us really admit to ourselves when I see, oh, that's where I feel short. I need to do something. Now, for boldness, think about it. There's a cause for boldness. Nobody gets just bold for nothing. There is a cause for boldness. The wicked man publicly becomes bold and even to kill people publicly because he is deeply angry. There's a deep anger in him for a certain cause that makes him angry and to do any do these evil things. So there's a cause there. There are other people who will speak boldly, very nice speeches, because there is a cause for that. And because they want to know, they want to tell the people what they think what is truth is. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, they are boldly because they sincerely believe that is the truth. So they will do that because for that cause. So there is an anger and a truth here goes hand in hand, right? So we as Christians, we should see both. We should see the cause for boldness. One is anger. There got to be an anger. And the other side, there got to be a truth. Now you might say, well, anger? I don't get it. That sounds like a sin. Now, let me try to put this together so you can see what I'm talking here. We should be angry of sin. We should be angry of wickedness. Because for this cause, we should preach the gospel to those who are unsaved. We should be angry of the sin and the wickedness. At the same time, we should, because of that anger that is have in us for what Satan is doing, we should have an anger. At the same time, there is a truth that we need to tell. Because of the anger, the cause, and the truth, what God has done, those things go together. Let's read Mark chapter 11, verse 15. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. What do we see here? We are seeing a wrath of God on earth. We are seeing the anger of Jesus Christ. There's a cause for this anger because of sin, the sin that is in the temple. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. There was a lot of anger in the Lord. This is a righteous anger that he has. And so for the first cause is there has to be anger. He was bold. He was not scared. He overturned the tables, whipped them off. Pretty bold in action. Why? He was angry. Because of sin. And he wanted to tell the truth. So, anger and truth goes hand in hand in boldness. Now, when the Old Testament kings and prophets, when they saw the wickedness of the people, I'm talking the Old Testament prophets and kings, they're righteous kings, okay? Not the sinful kings. When they saw the wickedness of the people, they became very angry. You know, when they became very angry, the first thing they do is, you know what? They tear their clothes off. That's how much they get angry. Now, let's see an example. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. Remember King Hosea? When he became king, he was only 8 years old. But his dad was an evil king. Manasseh was a very evil king. Manasseh built up a lot of idols, you know, worship all kinds of evil so-called gods, and in holy places he built up all these wicked, sinful, abominational things. Well, very evil. Then when Hosea became the king, you will see there was a reformation that happened. Verse 11, you will see, now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the Lord that he tore his clothes. Why did he tear his clothes? Because he saw the nation was filled with wickedness and sin. He was angry. He was so angry that he tore his clothes. When is the last time when you became so angry of sin that you tore your best beautiful dress? Huh? Put it that way. I'm talking here, the king tore his clothes. That means it's not a beggar tearing his clothes. You're talking a king. You know, put it that way so you can imagine. Just imagine you go to Sears or Robinson's or someplace and buy a beautiful dress. And you see the wickedness of the sin, or you see sin. You tear the clothes away, what you bought. That's how it is. And that's the boldness, isn't it? That's boldness. Boldly they serve the Lord. And also turn with me to chapter 23, 2 Kings, and see verse 6. He brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem and burned it at the brook Kidron and ground it to ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. This how much he was angry. So we need to have an anger against the enemy, Satan, for what he is doing. Yeah. We need to have an anger for what Satan is doing. We need to have an anger what Satan is doing to your relatives, for your parents, for your loved ones. We need to have an anger how Satan has deceived them, because this is warfare. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not personal. It's against unseen rulers where you haven't seen. So we need to have an anger. And this anger should cause us to weep and do something about it. When you're angry, you're not going to get angry for nothing. You are going to do something about it. Right? Just imagine, even in your flesh, when people get angry, they do something, right? That is not right. But I'm talking a righteous way. When we do get angry with Satan for what he is doing, we need to do something about it. Remember, John Knox, when he came from Switzerland, went to Scotland, and he was at his pulpit, and he wept over Scotland. And he said, God, give me Scotland or I will die. Why did he weep? Because he wept over Scotland for because of the sins. He was angry. So we need to see a battle here. To have some boldness. We are not talking, Lord, I want to be bold. For what? You need to see the root causes for that. So we need to see a battle against the enemy. A good example is, turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am going to give it to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as for the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Then says verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance in the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, that you may be able to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. You may be prosperous wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, for you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is telling the general of the army here. He's going to a real battle here. It is a battle. And it's the same way we have a battle. And we are soldiers. God is saying, first thing, how do you know the truth? This is it. Meditate, read, meditate day and night. Keep the word of God in your heart. And there's an anger when you fight against the enemy. Joshua didn't go, oh, I'm going to kill you. You know, of course he was angry because of the sin of the heathen nations. And they were bold. And God gave the boldness because there was a root cause for this. Why? There's a real battle that is going on. Now remember, we need to be bold for the truth also. There's an anger, and at the other side, there's a truth. Remember how Peter was so timid when he denied the Lord 3 times? When he realized the truth, as the Lord said to him before the rooster, he will deny him 3 times. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, 75, please. But verse 75, it says that when Peter remembered the word of Jesus who has said to him, this is previously, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Of course, Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. Here he realized, Peter realized that he sinned against the Lord. He realized his sin. When you realize your sin, the first thing you do is you mourn over those sins. You weep over those sins. And sometimes you will weep over those sins for the rest of your life, because it shows that you are so sorry for those sins that has been committed. I wish I did not commit those sins. And Peter wept bitterly. Peter too wept because of his sins, and he became bold. You know, there is something good when God takes something and breaks that thing. God wants to break us first before he make us bold. He wants, you know, just imagine the clay. The clay. We are the clay, right? He will take the clay and he will, you know, he will make it into a beautiful vessel, but that clay has to undergo some severe trials and tribulations, right? It's not easy. God, he has to mold it and shape it. That's not easy. Clay is going, oh, it hurts, you know. Of course it's good. So we need to be broken first. Our hearts need to be broken. Our pride needs to be broken. Pride is the worst thing, right? Our pride needs to be broken. Our heart, everything needs, our flesh needs to be crucified. All those needs to be happened. Because of sin, we need to realize in front of an awesome, holy God, how we have sinned against him. And here, that's what happened to Peter. But what happened to Peter after that? There was boldness, right? Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Start from verse 12, because this is really pivotal. This is really important, verse 12. Peter said, the word of God says, nor is there salvation in any other. When it says any other, means in any other person. Okay? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So the key word here is name. There's no other name that we can be saved, right? There's only one name that we are saved. The name is Jesus Christ. Now keep that word name in your remembrance, in your memory, and then go to verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of who? Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this, what? Name. Alright, the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something here. Peter. Verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They didn't have any fear. And the other thing is, they did not get this boldness from taking a graduate course. Because it says here, they were uneducated. They did not get this boldness by going to a skill school or a training seminar on a sales pitch where you can get boldness. Because it says here they were untrained. But they were bold in the name of Jesus. So now what do we see here? The whole cause here is the hub. One side we see anger, right? Other side we see the truth. There's an anger for what Satan is doing. The other side we need to tell the truth. Right in the middle, we see that Jesus Christ is really the cause of our boldness. Because it's Jesus' work, what He has done. It's Him alone, for His name's sake alone, that we need to be bold. And from there onwards, we see the whole, including Apostle Paul, 12 disciples, without computers, without telephones, without modern transportation like cars, automobiles we have, without any modern equipment, the gospel spread. Why? They were bold in the Lord. You know, boldness is a powerful tool, isn't it? You can see how powerfully the gospel spread across Europe and other places, even to the very hidden parts of the world during that time. Thomas went even to India because they were bold. They wanted, they have a motivation in their hearts, and they set the goal and they said, no matter what happens, I am going and nobody is going to stop me. Because there was a cause for it. The cause is anger and truth, and in Christ's name, I'm going to do it. Wow. You will see the balance, you know, the boldness is an act, right? It's boldness is something that you don't, oh, now I have boldness, I'm going to keep it. No, boldness is something that you will see in action. It's an act. Where do you find boldness in most of the, in the Bible? In the book of Acts. It's an act. That's where you see all the boldness of the disciples, how they were bold in preaching the gospel. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Oh, they were not scared. They were bold in preaching the gospel to Jesus. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Acts chapter 18, 26 says here, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard them, they took aside and explained the way of the God more accurately. This is Apollos, who was speaking boldly. Acts chapter, we saw the other one, 4:13. Now, Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you something. First thing is, we need to realize that we are weak. Alright, that's the first thing. You cannot say, oh, now I got boldness because I know the cause, I know the truth, so I got, you know, I'm somebody now because I know it all. It's not going to happen that way. God doesn't like that kind of pride. So we need to realize that we are weak. It's the Lord who gives us the grace of boldness. Remember, Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Exodus 4:10. Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. How many can say that? In front of people, we all can say, right? You know, we can say, God, I'm weak. Jeremiah said, how can I do? I'm just a babe. You know, I'm just a kid. How can I serve you? And we need to realize our weakness because it's the Lord who gives us the grace. So the Lord said to him, verse 11, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Therefore, go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Wow. I'll tell you, especially when you give a sermon, you got to really trust in the Lord. And otherwise, you got to really trust that the Lord will give you wisdom, the Lord will put things in your heart to say and everything. And you're going just trusting in God in faith. And because a lot of times when you talk to, we got a smaller crowd here, to a larger crowd, you find people looking at you. And some of those faces are pretty scary. And some of those faces can be mean looking. Well, God says, the battle belongs to the Lord. Don't be scared of the faces. The battle belongs to the Lord. God will put things in your heart. Don't have fear. Speak boldly in the name of the Lord. So realize that you have weakness and trust in God's strength, not in your strength. And the second thing is prayer. We need to pray for boldness. Remember all those in the book of Acts, we saw how they got boldness and they were bold in preaching the gospel. They were bold in doing this. Why? Because they prayed first. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 24. The disciples, they were threatened by the Jews, the Pharisees, and the enemies threatened them, right? So when they were threatened, verse 2, and the chief priests and elders, they were threatened. So they threatened them. Verse 24 says, so when they heard that they raised their voice to God, with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. That's the first thing you say. God, Lord, you are God. These people are just nothing. They're, you know, we see their faces very fierce looking. They have big authority, big power. But Lord, you are God. Then says, who made the heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them? And it shows to say, God, you're not only God, but you're the creator God. And who are these people? They're all your creation. In verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations raid and the peoples plot in vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose determined before to be done. So here, they were in accordance with the word of God in prayer. Right? Now, Lord, look at their threats. God, you are the heavenly God, creator God, and these people, they are threatening us. Look at their threats. And grant your servants that with all what? Boldness that they speak your word. Oh God, grant us boldness. We are nothing. We are weak. We tremble when we see those people. We are powerless. But God, but we are angry at those sins, what they are doing. We get so angry. We mourn over the sins. And we know we had to tell the truth. But grant us the boldness, Lord. We need boldness to do this. That's the key word in witnessing. That's the key word that is missing in most places. They have all the programs. They have everything. Something that is so pivotal, so important is missing. That is boldness. The place where they were assembled together was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Wow. You cannot speak the word of God boldly if you are not filled with the Spirit of God. Well, that's a small sermon that you heard today, that boldness in the Lord. And I pray that everybody who are here take these things very seriously, and that your life will be changed. And if you have a fear, and if you have a timidness in you, the God, you know, that you will truly pray and ask God to grant you boldness, and you will really see, man, there's a battle going on. I can just wait looking at it. I cannot wait and look at these sins, how horrible it is these people are doing. And I see these people all, they're all going to hell. Where are they going? They're going to the lake of fire. How can I just sit and watch? Got to do something about it. But I'm fearful. God grant me boldness. And you pray that. And if you continue to pray, keep on praying, the Lord will grant you boldness. Let me tell you something personal here now. You know, I was a very shy person. I remember when I was a little kid, when visitors come to our house, I go and hide under the table. I cannot face them. My mom, they call me, come son, there are some visitors, and I don't want to come. I'm shy. And once, you know, you had to give these speeches, you know, before go to college and so forth like that. These projects you had to do. I'll tell you, when my speech came, I had fever. I did not go. I was absent. Because I didn't want to go. I didn't want to face the students in the class and give a speech. And every time when there's a speech in front, I'm not there. I'm absent. I'm out. I'll tell you, when I came to know the Lord, the first thing I see is, I met a pastor. The pastor said, Nick, you need to do something now. Now you know the Lord, you need to do something. You need to serve Him. I said, well, what do you want me to do? You got to be an usher. I said, oh, no, 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 this is a big church, thousands of people, I am not going to be an usher. Usher is, you know, giving this thing and going passing the communion and getting the tithing and all that. No, not me. I'm shy. He said, no, you got to do it. If you are a Christian, if you want to serve the Lord, you got to do it. And I'll tell you, that's the breaking of the ice there. From that time onwards, it was different. God just changed me. And in the same way, you have a different personality. Everybody is different here. Everybody has something to do here between you and the Lord. The Lord is speaking to you and say, hey, you got to do something here. And don't be afraid. You know, I'll tell you, we got very few years to go because we are going straight onwards. Our walk is straight to that grave there. We are getting closer and closer to the grave. But remember, the grave is not a sorrow for us as Christians. It's the exit to heaven. Right? So, remember, as we get closer, you got to do more work, right? You got to do everything what you have for the Lord. Otherwise, if you don't do, guess, Satan will have a big list for you. And you'll be deceived. And, you know, so I want everybody to take it seriously to your heart. And let's pray and ask the Lord to give us the boldness. All right, let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the sermon, for the words that comes from you, Lord, and realizing how weak, how powerless, how unworthy we are, Lord. God Almighty, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, the name above every other name, that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would really grant us boldness, Lord. Oh, Father, we cry out to you as we mourn over the sins of this nation, mourn over the sins of ourselves and others and our loved ones. Oh, Father, that you would grant us boldness to speak the truth, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with the Spirit, and that we would be changed, and that we would walk according to your ways, that we would be able to do the same things what the apostles did, Lord, and there will be great revival and reformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.